Gracious Heavenly Father, again we want to praise and thank you for your love, mercy, and grace. And especially we realize that as you brought us here to worship you, Lord, giving us freedom of worship. And we appreciate this so much because we know that through the ages that has been barred to many people. And we know we'll be again, but we're glad at this time we have the freedom. And we pray, Lord, that our freedom shall be in you even in a greater measure, that your word will have freedom in our hearts, minds, and lives. To know then that word to live through us, O God, and whatever effort we need to expend, that we may be glad to do so, that nothing would hinder your word having right away. Bring our minds and our spirits and our souls, we pray, O God, into captivity to your spirit, to your word tonight. And may the words, Lord, which are gracious from you, be gracious to each one of us. So, Father God in heaven, we can say it's been good for us to be here because we've learned of thee and we've gained from thee. We commend ourselves to you now in this hour. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, before we get into number 6 and perfect faith, I have to just sort of caution you that knowing how I teach here, I put a tremendous amount back on the prophet because I see him magnifying his office and the grace of God in his ministry, which is given to us word through him. And I want you to remember, though, that there is a great responsibility that we have to do our share all through the sojourn we have on earth. I remember Brother Brank Woods brought that very forcibly to the attention of some brethren who are making Brother Branham the Lord Jesus Christ. And Brother Banks sort of rebuked some of them. They said, well, we know the prophet. And then later on, they were talking about how he was God. And he said, well, he said, it's sure strange. He said, you've been around him hunting and fishing and eating. Nothing seems to have rubbed off on you. And I want to say the same thing here, that there's a, we have to be cautious as we approach this word here that the prophet brought us, that we don't want to throw everything back on him and then stand clear by saying, well, hey, we believe and that takes care of it. Well, I have found a lot of people believe the prophet, and as far as I know, they're literally blaspheming the word of God. So their believing is fallacious. There's no substance there. Because the main thrust of the entire word of Brother Branham's ministry was that he is here. He descended with a shout. And Jehovah said to Adonai, which these people don't even want a countenance. Well, you realize there comes a time when you fall into grave, not only grave error, but into grave debt. You become a great debtor. Where does your faith lead you? So we want to just keep that in mind as we study that Brother Branham here is trying to bring out your side and my side so that we are not remiss in receiving what we are to have, even as he was not remiss in receiving what he was to have. All right, though the title of this message is simply Perfect Faith, Brother Branham, referring to the Christian using his God-given faith, often terms it a faith or a perfect faith. It seems he does this to indicate that we ought to be able to receive an answer by faith each time we pray for a promise. Thus, each time we present ourselves to God for his favor, it is a faith. And we need, therefore, to come to the place where every time our asking then becomes answering, or an answering from God. Or as a great old Pentecostal preacher one time said, asking is receiving, seeking is finding, and knocking is opening the door. And that is essentially correct, because you can't get away from that truth. It is not so much a system we work out, but a way of a life of faith. It's an actual way that can be used in order to come to this point. It is how we respond to the Word of God. And that's literally in a nutshell. There are definite principles Brother Branham shows us. Now, all through this message, he uses the appearing of the Son of Man as his position of the prophet in the appearing as a very real basis for our faith. So that's where we're watching, that we don't get carried away strictly to the prophet and say, well, isn't it great? We've got the vindication. Now we just sort of pitter along. It's not the way it is. It's not the way it is, see. You will notice this particularly by the fact that he uses illustrations from the Gospels wherein Christ in the days of his flesh inspired the people by his very personal presence to believe. See? Now, the personal presence of God was veiled in Christ. The Shekinah glory is attendant upon the personal presence of God. That's how Christ was the glory of God. The actual outreign. Okay, so Brother Branham used illustrations to show how that Christ in the days of his flesh, Emmanuel, God in flesh, Elohim here, he used illustrations from the gospel to apply to this day, because he is here. Two cases he uses are the woman with an issue of blood and the epileptic boy at the bottom of Mount Transfiguration. Later he uses Peter and his attempt to walk on water as a third illustration. Each story is a case of someone trying to get to Jesus because Jesus is there in person and can be reached and touched. Now apply this, what we're talking about, to our hour of Matthew Tell, where Christ visits the Gentiles in the form of the Holy Spirit and does in the form of the Holy Spirit through a prophet, revealing the Son of Man, bringing on the appearing of the Son of Man to the Gentiles. So there, in this hour, Matthew 12, when Jesus visits the Gentiles in our day, and the prophet's ministry is to declare by vindication that Jesus is here and can be touched, bringing forth Hebrews 13 and Mark 16 as a reality in this hour, even as they were so definitely and manifested 2,000 years ago. As he refers to the ministry of Christ in his flesh 2,000 years ago, he emphasizes that Christ kept in mind three important factors. One, who he, Christ, was. Two, who was doing the speaking and the working in him. Three, who governed what was to be said or done, and when and how it was said and done. Christ was a prisoner to the word of that hour. He still is, because he's the high priest according to the word. William Branham actually let us know that he also was a prisoner to the same word of God, received by vision and command, exactly what God wanted done in and through him, which in turn would prove Hebrews 13 and 8, the very presence of God and the literal appearing of the Son of Man of Luke 17. He said, in harvest time, the Son of Man is the Word living itself again amongst the people. I want to repeat. The Son of Man is the Word living itself again amongst the people. As he also said concerning the Son of Man in another place, I am not he. The pillar of fire is not he. It's in the form of the Holy Spirit, God, not man, but it comes by the prophet. Then, using this great end-time ministry, he attempts to show that we also can touch Christ. He did it publicly. And receive help in every time of need until we either depart this life through death or we are taken away in a rapture. And so we go to paragraph 77 and continue. Now, that's on page 14. Now see, he knew who he was, therefore he had faith. He knew who he was, and therefore he had faith. All right, it's the same as you saying, all right, I've practiced lifting weights until I can come up to 150 pounds very easily. There'll be nothing to me picking up this 75 pounds and just carting it away. See, he knew. In other words, he knew who he was, which was the physical manifestation of the Creator who was controlling all things. He had the whole world in his hand, so to speak, as the songwriter sort of puts it. All right. Now you see, he knew who he was, therefore he had faith. Faith could produce when he knew what he was. Not just who, but what. All right. Now faith could produce. That, to me, is signifying inactive faith, which was there all the time, to an activity. It was producing. And that's sort of like Ephesians 5, 13 to 17, if we don't mind looking at it in this light. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. And whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And I'm looking at that scripture in this sense, that this is the hour that we are asleep, and we are to awaken up from amongst the dead, and come into obedience of that which has been manifested to us, revealed to us, and walk in that light with understanding. And that's what we see here. The ministry of William Branham is identical to the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, who knew who he was and what he was. William Branham knew that he was a servant of God. He knew that he was a prophet. He knew that he was Elijah the prophet. Now, a lot of people don't agree. That's their tough luck. I mean, I'm not going to be rough, but I'm not going to be sorry. I cannot afford to be jealous over what God has not been jealous over. And I cannot afford to take a side with what God has not taken sides. It's not a matter whose side is God on. It's a matter, are you on God's side? Because today you can't tell whose side God is on from indications of things out there when you look at the false anointed. They can do everything just the same and even better. But we are warned here not to become complacent in what we're looking at. We have to realize that we have been identified. And in our identification, then, we have a responsibility to act because we are actors. We are not dead. We are lethargic. We are asleep. We are to shake ourselves and come to the place, even as Brother Branham often quoted, in desperation. All right. Faith could produce when he knew what he was. Now, if you abide in me and my word in you, then you know who you are. Ask what you will. It'll be given you. We'll see more of that in a paragraph down here a little later on. But you notice what he said there, quoting to you and me. If you abide in me and my word in you, then you know who you are. In other words, if you are sticking with this word and you are abiding with Christ, the revealed word, the Logos. In other words, the Rhema and the Logos have come together and you're standing with it. Then you know who you are. You are a Logos, you are a Rhema Logos identified, or a Logos identified Rhema, in the sense that you're strictly with this word here for this hour and has been identified by God to you. Now it says, ask what you will, it will be given to you. So, all right. We see these people abiding. They're sticking with the word. They're staying with the message. See? That's why Brother Branham could say, take this message for your healing. You can take it for anything. Any prayer that you need to go to God and petition him for something that's in this Bible here. Because it's in there for you and me. Like Brother Branham prayed for Brother Down. Now, I don't know if I can ask God to extend his life. See, and yet at the same time, the same prophet would say, hey, it doesn't matter how old you are, you can pray for healing. Healing is not obviated by old age. But Brother Dow's about 90 years old. So can he go to God and ask God to heal this man because the life has already been extended beyond the 70? Well, all right, he can pray, no problem there. But can he get an answer wherein he knows that this man will be well? Because you've got not conflicting scripture, you simply got the word laid out there. So God gave a vision, saw him walking down the street, him shaking hands. He said, thus saith the Lord, I'm going to be shaking hands with you on the street. We read that. All right. Now, 78. Wouldn't it be wonderful tonight if everybody who came in that prayer line said, I am a Christian. I know who I am and what I am. I'm a Christian. I'm a believer, therefore I believe. I have no condemnation. I know that my heart condemns me not. Something tells me that tonight's the end of my suffering. You believe that, and you'll go away here with something. No matter how much you came in emotion, how much you stir up your emotions, it won't work until that perfect faith, you know within yourself, has manifested and identified itself in you as a substance. Now we got to watch that because that's going to go two ways. That's going to go one way where you know there's a manifestation because the prophet is speaking really of himself, and you know something else too. In other words, you have an assurance though. And when it does, then nothing's going to shake you from it. So I feel he's saying this about himself, And the following paragraphs seem to say it also as we go along here. Now, let's look at the emphasis here. The emphasis of know. Now, look at it again. I know in my heart. I know, said, that my heart condemns me not. All right? No matter how much you come in emotion, how much you stir up your emotions, see, it won't work until that perfect faith has manifested and identified itself in you as a substance. Now, looking at that word perfect faith, like knowing itself, I'm going to go first of all to John 6 here and just bring something to your attention that I think might be worthwhile as we're looking at this thought of knowing. 6, chapter 1 to 6, and after these things Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples, and the Passover feast of the Jews was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he said unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew. He himself knew what he would do. See? Now, he knew what he would do. But he said, where are we going to get bread for these people? He wanted to put them on the spot to gain their attention and to learn a lesson which was forthcoming. This laid the basis for John 6, 22 to 40. The following day, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw there was none other boat there, save that one into his disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples were gone alone. Howbeit there came other boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place where they did eat bread, after that the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum, seeking for Jesus. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, whence camest thou thither? And now notice Jesus answered and said, Truly, truly, I say unto you, seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but you did eat the loaves and were filled. Now see, they paid no attention to the miracle per se. They were just happy that they got filled up. And they said, hey, this is the way to go. Fishing, have a great time, he's going to just take care of it. Now what I'm showing you here is that people today misunderstood the ministry of Brother Branham in the line of the very supernatural, miraculous. They didn't know what it was pointing to any more than these people knew. They thought it was pointing to free meals. Under William Branham, they thought it was pointing to, hey, Bible days are here, let's all get on the bandwagon. Everybody's got some. He's got a ministry. Bless God, we can have it too. What's this stuff about Elijah? Ha! See? All right. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Now he knew what he would do, and he knew down the road what was going to happen and supposed to happen. Now, I'm going to tell you something. As much as I love divine healing, it is the bread that perishes. All the shepherding, all the nice thoughts that you garner here, all your sweet Christian conduct, and that's all part of Christianity, is bread that perishes in a certain degree, except the part of character. A lot of things are going to go. But what is the purpose of this word? See, what is behind it all? They said, what shall we do that we might do, that we might work the works of God? And Jesus answered and said, do you want to know the real work? This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom God has sent. And they said, Now listen to these birds. What sign will you show us that we may see and believe thee? Now they saw bread multiplied, dead substances, feeding 5,000, 12 baskets left over. And they said, well, now let's have a sign. And you know what the sign was? Dollar signs. I threw that in. But you know the golden calf always has reared its head. That's the only signs you see. I remember years ago, I used to go to the Pentecost meeting. It says, signs, wonders, and miracles. And all the signs you saw were dollar signs. And you wondered where the miracles were. I know. See? Our fathers ate man in the desert, as is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Well, if they already believed that. They had another sign now that showed a continuation of Moses' ministry in the feeding of the people, and they turned it down. We have a continuation of the ministry of Jesus Christ and the word of the Apostle Paul. And also what John brought us. Then Jesus said, truly, truly, I said to you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. It's that bread that Moses gave got wiggle tails in it. It didn't last. For the bread of God is he was coming down from heaven and giveth his life to for the world, unto the world. Then they said, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Now there's two kinds of touchings. One is the touching that brought forth a healing, and this touching bring forth eternal life. Now they're not the same. They come from the same source. Actually, divine healing is simply what emanates from the source, which we have to have a part of that life. But I say to you that you have also seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I'll no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And he does, on the grounds of being a high priest. See? And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I'll raise him at the last day. Now they were looking at him, they were seeing him, and they were believing on him to the wrong end. Now, if the desideratum, or the criterion, or the great thing, pinnacle apex, whatever you want to call it, was this which he's talking about, then has it changed if he's Hebrews 13 and 8? No. Miracles and all these things are fine, but they are simply pointing to what God wants us to get, which is a true understanding of Scripture. See? So let's watch that now. Okay, let me read some more. 48 to 58. I am the bread, that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. Now, you can eat all kinds of bread out here in the wilderness, which will perish with you, because this is a wilderness. This world. It's a wilderness where every table's full of vomit. Everybody thinks he's got something, and nobody has anything because they accept insanity, misjudgment, miscalculation, wrong emphasis. For they say, we're rich and increased in goods, and don't lack a thing. And God said, you're wretched, miserable, naked, and blind. You are a bunch of beggars begging and don't even know it. And people today, if you look at the stock market and the world and the church, they're just a bunch of beggars begging, and their hearts are failing for fear. There's a millionaire made every 24 hours in the United States. What good is it to? It's just filth. See? This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Now, we're drinking in commemoration and eating because of that. The Jews therefore strove amongst themselves, saying, how can this man give his flesh to eat? See? Then Jesus said, truly, truly, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna, and are dead. He that eateth this bread shall live forever. And these things he taught in the synagogue. Now what we're looking at here then is what Jesus knew what this act was to bring to pass. Knowing in himself. Now, Brother Branham as a prophet. Now let's watch, reread it here so you get what I'm saying. No matter how much you come in emotion, how much you stir up your emotions, it won't work until that perfect faith, see, that Abraham came to, has manifested and identified itself in you as a substance. Now, that's for us, but more basically, I believe, for the prophet. Because he says, until that perfect faith has manifested. Now, to manifest means to actually be shown, to come into view. Now, Brother Branham's faith came into view when the act was done before the public. See? Now, and identified as a substance. Because it worked, and it wouldn't work for anybody else. No man could start every meeting, say, I take every spirit in this building under my control in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the glory of God. And prove it. You couldn't hide if you tried. And where people tried to pull things, they died for it. The man had that. Now, what we're looking at here is to come to the same place, knowing what we have because we respond to what was demonstrated. And we are a part of those who are eating and drinking, having eternal life. It has been manifested. And we are identified with that substance. See? The operation of the power of God and the truth of the word that came primarily. The other was only a vindication of what was to come. Now we have it. And that's what he's saying to you and me. Now, he said, when it does, there's nothing going to shake you from it. Have we come to the place where we understand vindication? Many people haven't. They still question the prophet. One thing that doesn't make my blood boil, because I don't have too much blood left to boil. I don't think I got the calories. Tis late in life. But spiritually speaking, I have a great problem with those who say that which in part, that which is perfect has not come, and you know what I'm talking about. The man puts out the sermons. He does everything. He'll write a compendium, anything at all. Stand and deny the very thing that we stand on. How much do you believe a prophet? How much do you believe works? No more than these people. No more. See, so this has a dual thrust. One for the prophet, one for us. See? It's not up to us to bring the thing into manifestation and call it a substance. You have the substance before the manifestation. In this place, you see the grace of God again wooing us to this tremendous message. Substance, brother, sister, manifested right before you, and you didn't even ask for it. You wouldn't have enough. None of us would have enough on the ball to know what to ask for. We'd have been just like these people. Show us a sign. Give us something else. Why, that's not enough. We want our ideas. Come on. You know tonight, all of us here, our ideas have got us into very hot water or iceberg conditions. I like what Brother Branham said. You don't have a think coming. All right. 79. If you had cancer, now this is Brother Branham again now, but there's the, remember there's the trickle down thrust to you and me. The, what you might call, what? Kind of a corollary there. If you had cancer and the doctor told you yesterday that you'd be dead before Monday morning, all of your heart, respiration gone, cancer's eating you up, your bloodstream's completely given over to cancer, whatever it is, and something came with this substance of this genuine faith. Perfect faith was made a substance in you. You'd laugh in that doctor's face. Now what you're seeing here, he's describing the substance he talked about earlier. That real substance, which is the real faith. Because faith is substance. Now let's understand that. So look, I've got my hand on something that, I'm sorry about you guys, but you haven't got a chance. That's what faith is. Well, prove it. Open your hands. With nothing in your hands. Can you see electricity? Can you actually see a bolt of lightning? You don't really see it. You see what it produces. But you can get hit by it. Because actually, electricity itself is really invisible as it goes along. Just that things happen around it. As far as I know, maybe I'm wrong on that. But. All right. And something came with this substance of this genuine faith. Perfect faith was made a substance in you. You'd laugh in the doctor's face. All right. The law and effect of faith, then, according to Brother Branham, based on the Word of God, is greater than all physical laws, for the law of faith turns to defeat all other natural laws, according to the Scripture. Now, this is not something you're working up, not emotion, because remember, when you come to God with a request for an answer, you are already stressed. So you don't need further stressing. And you don't need a substitute of emotion, because you already got it. What you need is the true emotion, which is faith, which is, I beg your pardon, peace, which in other terms is the rest of faith. So, all right, the law and effect of faith is greater than all physical laws, for the law of faith turns to defeat and defeats all natural laws. And we get this in Romans 11 chapter. So, I beg your pardon, Hebrews, which of course is the book, not Romans. All right, we'll read 32 to 40. And what shall I say more after specific cases are delineated upon? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and of Samson and Jephthah and David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. Well, that's not just divine healing there. Quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of aliens, women received their dead raised to life again, and others, by the same faith, were tortured, not accepting deliverance. They died, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the word was not worthy. They wandered in deserts, in mountains, in dens and caves. You know what? That happened under the old church age and happened under the new church age, the old seven ages, and under the new seven ages. It's a complete repeat. In fact, if you study the New Testament history of what the Christians went through, you don't see much in the Old Testament to rival this. Not much, no. And yet this tells you they actually had it. Of whom the word was not worthy, they wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided something better, some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Now, let's understand this, that you could go through every bit of this and still not be in the first resurrection. You had to have this come to you because of what you believed. So, therefore, the greatest faith in the world to come to perfection is your faith in God that will not let you turn to get another answer than the one answer, true, and the power of your faith and your assurance to hold you right with God. They were boiled in oil, sawed asunder, fed the lions, and everything else. They were not delivered by an answer to prayer. Their deliverance was the great deliverance. They were above the world and they weren't even a part of the world. The world wasn't worthy. They weren't even called a part of it. Nothing to do with them. Now, going on. To be like Elijah when he walked up and down before the idol and said, why don't you call a little louder? That's on Elijah now, but I forgot to mention this one. Faith was made a subsidy. You'd laugh in that doctor's faith. Brother Branham was called in to pray for an Armenian lady completely eaten up with cancer. The doctor, another Armenian, was there, and he didn't want Brother Branham even coming up and praying. He wanted the poor woman to die in peace and all, and he said, you're giving her a false hope. And Brother Branham said, look, doctor, tell you what. He said, if this woman is not out of bed tomorrow doing her work at such and such an hour, he said, I will let you put a sign on my back, front and back, calling me quack, and I'll walk down the street with you blowing the horn of your car behind me, drawing attention. But if she's up tomorrow morning like I say, then I want to put a sign, or quack prophet, I want to put a sign on you back in front, quack doctor, and I'll ride in my car and blow a horn. The doctor never took him up on it. Didn't have the guts. He knew it wasn't going to be done, but didn't have the guts anyway. I think he's converted today, last I heard. You'd be like Elijah. When he walked up and down before the idol and said, "Why don't you call a little louder? Maybe he's pursuing." You know. Elijah knew what he was going to do because God had told him what was going to happen. He said, "Let the God that answers by fire be God." Okay, let's see. In other words, if your faith, my faith in God is greater than nature. And let's see if your faith in God is greater than nature so that nature can be handled. No, that's God. They said, "Well, we'll take that proposition." Sure. We'll buy that. And they poured water upon the altars, and they cut themselves, and they did everything they could and called, "Oh, Baal, oh, Baal, answer." Elijah, just as calm as he could be, he said, "Call a little louder." He said, "Maybe he's pursuing. Maybe he's on a fishing trip. Maybe he's doing something else. He's gone out somewhere." He just made fun of them because he knew what was going to happen. Oh, watch when he got everything in order. He walked out there and said, "Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel." He never called him by his name, Jacob the Shyster. He called him Israel, Prince with God. You got to recognize, see? We must never call ourselves sinners or a church when we've been called saints and bride. We're not called church anymore, and we're not called sinners. All right, 84. "Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of that prince, Jacob, let it be known today that I am your servant, and I have done this not at my desire, not something I made up, but at your command have I done this. It was your will. You told me what to do. You showed me these things would be here. Now I've poured the water upon the altar. I've done all these things according to your command. Now let it be known." And when he said that, fire fell down from the heavens. He was just as confident it was going to fall because he had the substance. Why? The word said so. Revealed word. Okay. Faith has power over nature in various ways and degrees, as we know from the scripture. Now you notice Elijah took God's word as authoritative as to what would happen in the face of what all nature and human verdict conspired to deny. He took it above it, see? All right? It was revealed to him. Now, in his own particular way, Elijah got this great revelation, and so did Brother Branham. This is a particular thing. In this instant here that God said, now this particular thing is going to happen. See, it was not written in the Bible, but it was revealed to him. But the Bible is to be our guidebook, just, and is just as great to us without a vindication as he had here, some special revelation, some special voice, some vision or something, see. So, all right, Brother Branham is showing us in the ministry of Elijah, remember, he was Elijah the prophet, William Branham was, that when we see what went on in his ministry, we are to base our faith on that perfect faith that he had as a prophet, and we have the same kind of faith in our own measure, and therefore, though we won't do this in our own way, we can do something just as great and something just as substantial. Now, you know that by how the body works, one cell with the other. Now, this same Bible is the same God's Word. I don't care by vision or angel speaking, anything else. And when you can receive the substance, that's perfect faith, substance that this promise that God made is yours. Now, he's telling you, what you've seen, what you've read, you don't have to put yourself in that class. And you don't have to strive to be in that class. And you don't need what those men had. It's been shown you, see, by example. The precept is now set before you. You have got it, and you've got enough faith to use in every circumstance and condition. Now, whether you're going to see the direct promise of deliverance, or whether you might have to die for your faith, you've got what it takes. That's what I say today. We don't know what's coming. We don't know how we're going to act. But by the grace of God, we will do what God wants us to do when the chips are down. Why? Because, look, if this is true, how could we fail? You see? How could we fail of the promise of God if we're that true seed there? See? Now, look. Now, this same Bible is the same God's Word. And when you can receive the substance, and it's the Holy Ghost gives it to us, that perfect faith, substance that this promise that God made, the promise that God made, is yours. Now, watch what's happening here. You are not only identifying with the promise giver, but you are identifying with the promise. Not only am I identified with him, I'm identified with the promise. Now, you see, that's the strong point of Romans 8. You see? And in Romans 8, when you go back to being a son of God, the Spirit now has let you know that you are a child of God. And especially the Spirit of adoption, which is in this hour greater than any other hour, because it's in the resurrection that the fullness of the adoption comes and the shout is on to bring on the voice, which is the resurrection. So you are into it. You're sliding into it. Time and eternity has blended. It's an ongoing thing now. Okay, then he tells you that suffering is involved. Now, the suffering can be a suffering which is merely mental and spiritual coming against you rather than a physical. Now, most people don't know because of the Arabs. They're such a despicable people today with their harsh ways of doing things. The Turks that killed the Armenian Christians and all the diabolical things that they've done until you think God has just wiped them off the earth. But you don't realize that when there were 53 Coptic churches in North Africa, right after Jesus Christ died and Pentecost began to spread, and these Mohammedans came in. We used to understand for years that they fought the Christians and killed them. They didn't. They ostracized them to the extent the young people couldn't take it. And they dropped all forms of Christianity. So therefore, you could have the same thing happen today. It's always the ostracizing of the people. The minute the new light strikes, something, well, you're not of us, get out, you bunch of bums. You're heretics, haven't got a thing. Always there's that division. So we don't know the ghetto in those. We don't know what lies ahead. We don't know the suffering that is in here. But there will be a suffering, and there must be some kind of a suffering. See, that whatever the sufferings are, they're not to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. At this time, our glory, our bodies, which is true, are the manifestations of ourselves. And we should strive always to be in a position of obedience to God so that these bodies will reflect His presence, not ours. For there's soon coming a day when it's going to be all over. And it will reflect the glory of God. Because the old nature, the whole thing will be all gone. That spirit that we were given, I believe, will be gone. There'll just be that soul that is enlightened by God in a glorified body. And we will be true theophanies in that little watered down sense. You understand what we're saying? All right. Now he goes on and tells you that the earnest expectation of the creation is waiting for this to happen to us. For creation was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who subjected the same in hope. Now, they've got a promise of coming into theirs, the same as we're coming into ours, and we come in together. But we have to have our redemption first for them to get their redemption because we sinned before they got in the plate. See? Okay, and not only they, but ourselves, which have the first fruit of the Spirit, absolute guarantee of being in the resurrection. Even we're groaning within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, the redemption of the body. That's what it is, in the resurrection, the fullness. But we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. What a man hopes for, what he sees, what does he hope for? Well, we don't see it yet. So we got to keep waiting for it. But if we hope for that we see not, then with patience we wait for it. Now that's a good, tough one right there, how much patience we got waiting. You know, it's no problem. You're in the rest of faith because you say, hey, I'm going to have it. I've got it. I've got it. It's mine. It's mine. It's mine. It's mine. I'm identified with him. I'm identified with the promise. What is the promise of this hour? I will send you Elijah to restore. Well, praise God, going to get restored. So we're coming.
Likewise, the Spirit bears and helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought to, but the Spirit itself makes intercession with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the hearts knows what's the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now you've got a help right there. You don't only do your own praying, there's somebody in you praying. Now, we know that all things work together for good them that love God, them that he called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now he's explaining this whole thing he's talked over here. You see? Moreover, whom he predestinated, he also called. And whom he called, he justified. And whom he justified, then he glorified. Okay? Actually called on, actually doing this. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Now here's what I'm driving at. He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Now that's the same as Hebrews 13 and 8, taking in Mark 16. James 5, 14. Lay hands upon the sick, they shall recover. It's the very same principle. And what you're looking at here then, is Jesus said, look, I am the bread of life. And if you take this, you've got the other. The little part belongs to the whole. The little part is not the whole. He saw them running for the little part. And he said, I'm going to sidetrack you right now. That's not what you want, and that's not what I came for. This is what I came for. Now, you got with Brother Branham's ministry, Elijah, the very same thing that we're looking at here. Which is wonderful. See? It's right before us. This great, tremendous manifestation of this perfect faith. And we're going to read the next paragraph, too, and you'll begin to see it more and more. That God has given with this everything else, so there is no need to deny anything. And in fact, if you do deny anything now, you're finished. Because that which is perfect is here. You were dealing in part. You were dealing in part due to the fact of healing, but the healer himself wasn't here, only in token. See? But now it's different. All in all is here, Brother Branham said. In him is everything. See? Now, let's go on. Now, that's mine, see? That's mine. I'm identified. And the word identifies me. Because I'll be a believer. And there's room in my heart for that word. How do you feel, Brother Branham, when you stand there and see people coming in different languages and things? Are you afraid? No, sir. No, sir. He said it. Never been afraid yet because he told me so. And what he told me, I believe that. And I take it to be the truth. All right? That's Brother Branham. That's not we, but we stand in our own position. Now let's watch. If he told me tonight, in other words, he gave his command. In other words, if God gave me his authoritative word, and all his word is authoritative, that voice speaking or vision, and he told me to go to the presidential graveyard and raise up George Washington tomorrow morning, I'd invite the whole world. Now let's wait a minute here because we're going to blast something out here because I want to be very careful that you people never shut your minds to anything. I'd invite the whole world and say, come and see it done. I'd say, bring every critic you can and stand them around. You're going to see the glory of God. Set that chair over there where you can sit down and rest a little while. He'll be here just in a minute as soon as I call. Now, who's going to be there? Washington. Who's going to do the calling? William Branham. Why? Because he was told it. Now, this would be a greater miracle than on Lazarus. Because George Washington died and has gone to ashes and gases. If you can even find a trace of him. No, he's looking for his teeth because all his teeth were pulled out and he got wooden teeth put in there. I guess they're on view in the Smithsonian somewhere.
Nothing left.
See?
Okay, so that's a resurrection. And I mean a real resurrection, far beyond Lazarus. All right, if William Branham could stay there, stand there, and you know he wasn't bluffing, although, you know, he could say, well, I didn't hear from him, something like that, you know. But this man didn't run bluffs. Now, listen carefully. If that's the case, and only the voice can raise the dead. Jesus comes down to do all three, sets himself at the head of the church in order to raise the dead. Then who was there? Now, let's go a little further. Brother Branham never gave up confidence in the tent vision. Is he trying to tell us something here about himself and the resurrection? I don't know. But I want you to know this, that there is a division amongst us, as you well know. And I am highly criticized because I will not cross over and say, William Branham must come back in that tent and do so and so and so and so and so and so. That tent vision was a vision, and Brother Branham never ever changed his definition of a vision that comes to pass. Everything must be exactly as seen. And that was a composite one of a threefold vision. One of which they were fishing, which was entirely spiritual. You cannot teach Pentecostal babies doctrine. Don't try to teach them. They'll never get it. They're coming for the bread, the loaves, and the fishes, and that's all they're interested in. Now, the next one was where they dismissed the crowd, two little poor kids pulling a cart. I never did know in here that he ever saw two kids pulling a cart, though a meeting was dismissed. But did the Mexican meeting fulfill all of that? Was everything in its place? Or was that part? The next thing was the tent vision with him up in the air trying to get down the little cubicle. Is that 100% spiritual, 100% physical? What is it? I don't know. But I know one thing. If the ministry of William Branham completely parallels the ministry of Jesus Christ, how complete, I cannot tell you. I know one thing. I know that Jesus came back. And he actually must have created fish to eat and bread to put the fish in, and he ate a fish sandwich with his disciples. I don't know. But I'll tell you why I stand as cautious as I stand. Because the prophet said, always looking back, always looking forward. I am not interested in looking back. I despise it. I had too much of it. I haven't got enough brains to look forward. But I think I've got enough of the Holy Ghost to look what's going on now. And if I can't look at what's going on now, but I think I can look what's going on forward, I think I'm kidding myself. I could be wrong, but I think that's my stand. Now look, when Jesus came back, he spoke concerning the things of the kingdom. He did what was necessary for his disciples. It is no accident that the last shall be first and the first last. No accident. What will he do? I don't know what he'll do, but I certainly agree with Sister Branham, who said, well, Lee, look, I told them when he does get back, it's going to be too late if you're not ready. So now look, I don't know what the future holds. Jesus does all three, and he is here now to raise the dead. And he's the head of the church. And he's putting the church in order. And he wants us to wake up and smarten up and begin to act more sincere, more sober, and have more faith in the things that are set forth in Mark 16, but not to the detriment of what is Hebrews 13 and 8 and the true revelation that Elijah brought us for this hour, which is going to do what we're going to talk about later on. We've talked about it all along, and Brother Branham confirms it. All right.
Now, illustrating. He talks about hay would not call down fire. Elijah did that. But he could call up the dead if God said so. That's something. In this illustration, then, I would say, and in other illustrations, that Brother Branham was showing us the rest of faith or the assurance, not worked up emotion, but a true emotion of rest, peace. Faith that comes by the word revealed in this hour has brought us to a rest and assurance that will bring on immortality. Not worked up in us, but demonstrated to us by God. Nothing you're working up. See, in fact, you stand in awe of this ministry. Now, further, 88. That night when that little boy in Finland, that day rather, he says, lying there dead, he'd been laying there for a half hour, smashed up, blood running out of the eyes, nose, and ears, his little legs broken up in his little stockings, and his feet up through the end of his stockings, his shoes gone, ripped off. I looked and I thought, that ought to be that boy. He's wondering, he's another place he says, I wonder, I've seen that boy. And he talks, was he in my meeting there? This is a very abbreviated story. Finally, when they said, Brother Branham, you couldn't have seen him, he wasn't there. He says, say, let's look in the back of that Bible, Brother Moore. We got Brother Lindsay, Brother Moore, look back there. And it shall come to pass that the Lord, oh my, there will be a land where there's a lot of evergreens growing, rocks will be lapped together, you know, like you see the layers, like limestone or whatever, shale. A little boy with a cropped haircut, I suppose mean bowl cut, you know, little panty waist button up, kind of gator type, you know, and his feet, his stockings pulled up high. He'll have brown eyes, they'll be turned back, he'll be killed in an automobile accident, but when you lay your hands upon him, he'll come back to life. There it was, written there. There he lay, amen, just waiting for the word. I said, if this boy isn't alive in a couple minutes from now, then I'm a false prophet, run me out of Finland. But if he is alive, fall on your faces and repent. I said, death, you can't hold him. I call for his spirit according to the word of God, in the name of Jesus Christ. And he jumped up, right? See? Faith, see, took a hold. God said so, there it is. Now, the lesson here, I believe, is that though we don't have visions to prove Hebrews 13 and 8, these incidents should make us know that we're well able to handle all the scripture in James and in Mark and in any other place where it pertains to us. We are well able to do it based upon this. Because he is here, he is present, you have seen him, he's been revealed, and we can touch him. That's the thing you've got to understand. I can touch him. And you know why? Because he's the high priest, and he was a human being at that time with every infirmity. Most people do not give Jesus Christ credit for not savoring, but having tasted in the negative sense of being forced to, as you and I are, of every temptation and everything on this earth, pain, sorrow, sickness, everything else. I never realized the sickness of Brother Branham brought up. Now he said, that's God speaking in this day through vision. That's by the prophet. But hear this, if that vision was contrary to this Bible, then it would be wrong. This Bible is more than the vision. Now see where you got to go? You got to get your eyes off the prophet and the vision now and say, hey, he proved this, then this is what I want, not that. You got to get Christ-centered, word-centered. From the Logos, the perfect manifestation of God as we have seen him, even the camera caught him. You go to the Rhema, which has been proven by the Logos. Because Logos is nothing but Rhema brought out in plain evidence. That's about all you can say. This is more than vision. If any vision is contrary to the word, the Bible, leave it alone. It isn't to God. God doesn't contradict his own word. So if this word told you something, then you have the same confidence, then what's going to happen? In other words, you've got a double witness. You've got the Bible, in history. You've got the Bible present, revealed. You've got the double ministry of God in the form of flesh through one man, Jesus Christ, through another man, the prophet. You've got a showing that this is the Word of God. And if God was faithful, see, to show it, then He's faithful to keep it. Because the gift and the ministry is never for the man, it's for the people. This ministry wasn't for William Branham. He's not God and he's not the bride. This ministry was for us. He didn't need it. Well, he was already speaking face to face with God in the pillar of fire and the angel of God visiting. See? He even asked if the angel could, if his own son Billy Paul could see him. And Billy Paul was allowed to see him. Like Billy Paul's got a genuine gift of discernment. There's no doubt his father said so. It's right on a tape. I'm sure it's on a tape. For he told me personally, but I know it's got to be on a tape. Because my wife and I wondered about it, and I don't think she was there when he mentioned why he said, my gift, he said, is nothing to what Billy Paul's has if he just dedicated himself to God. Isn't that on a tape? Start listening. It's there. It's there. You mean a public ministry? Not like, but no. So, you know, but the fact is, it's not saying who needs it. But does that equate to this proven to be the living Word of God? No way, shape, and form. Like the fellow said, when you see the sign says, point to the bus, you don't jump on the sign. You go where the sign says and get on the bus. Well, we only look back to the prophet's ministry in order to keep us current of what is here and our lot. We're not going back. We're not looking back. It's just like when you get a theorem proven to you in geometry. You don't prove the theorem over again. You apply it to further your ability, your status, those things in there. All right. See, God doesn't contradict His own Word. No way. So if any promise in Scripture has been thus vindicated, it is an authorization to us, and our faith is now substance, and will manifest in the promise confirmed to us. See, we've got the manifestation, like the theorem, that makes you to know you can get your answer. So you then take the theorem, which is the vindication, and say, that proves this is mine because I'm identified with this living Word and the rest aren't. Now you say, well, what about the false anointed? Who cares 2 cents about them? They can have authentic visions like Balaam and everybody else and miss it. Just because they're able to operate doesn't say we've got to stop operating. And because Hebrews 13:8 is here, the whole, you don't lay down Mark 16, you don't dare do it. Now that's what we're trying to get from this message, the seriousness of the Scripture. Now, if it says, they shall lay hands upon the sick, and they shall recover. Well, brother, if faith, that perfect faith, got a hold of that, when you passed by this prayer line, you'd be jumping and shouting when you left here. You'd say, it's over, it's over, it's all over, it's finished. If you had a request in your heart and believed that when that prayer was made for that, it was going to be answered, then there isn't anything to stop it. That's what's going to happen, like the woman with the blood issue. Now, he takes the woman with the blood issue in the presence of God, relates it right to his ministry, and says, I don't care what you need. If there's a promise in the Bible, this indicates you can have it. See? Now, he's been laying down conditions about it. Identified yourself with God. Identified with the Word. See? You identified with the promise. And you're living a life. You're not a false anointed bird. You know, try to weasel something. Okay, this is our order. You know, our rank. See? The echelon. And it's no less real than Brother Branham's or Paul's or Jesus. Now, I know we think it is. But it isn't. Because what this is the proof of the substance. You follow me? The proof of the substance. It's just like you're in a room that's filled with propane gas. Your nose tells you right away, proof of the substance. There's propane gas in there. See? Now, if your eye, and you know that, let's say you're looking at a coconut. That coconut was just taken, shipped in from off a tree, some trees. Sits right there. Your eye looks at it, there's not a break in it. See? Pick it up, shake it. There's good milk in it. Say, ha! The meat's in there. And that's mine. It's the same thing with this. When the substance has been manifested to not be imaginary. Mystical, yes, but not imaginary. But to be real. And Brother Branham pinpoints it. See, right now, see, that's, I've got it. In my order. There, I got my substance now. I can begin operating. So that every request now that requires faith is a substance to me. And I can see why Brother Branham would shake his head at times and wonder why the people weren't getting it. In fact, he told me a long time ago, 1957, he said, Lee, they're not getting it. He said, it's just like a loaf of bread that's wrapped up in a nice parcel. In the discernment, see. He said, they're going for the parcel instead of the bread. And I spoke on the very thing in those meetings and tell the people, look, hey, get your eyes on the bread. I didn't know how deep it was. Bread was the word, see. All right, 98. Jesus had perfect faith. That's a continuous, absolute faith. He had it. And it came because he was the Word. Now watch, and this is the big one. And you must become the Word. And you do become the Word as you receive the Word. And if you abide in me, and my words in you. In other words, you are in Christ, and you stick with the manifested Christ and the manifested Word. The revealed Word. And say, this is it. The more that you stay with it, the more you are the Word. They say, well, Brother Vail, I would like this. Shut up! Now let's commit a little homicide around here. Stick a knife in your unbelieving heart. Because you don't have anything to put to this. And I don't. This is our trouble. And why poor Brother Branham tore his hair what he had left. You think for 1 minute that problem he had in his body was all that gave him nerves? No, you and I gave him nerves. I'm glad he's gone. Well, frankly. I'm glad his wife's gone. I rejoice for them. Well, I do. I positively. I'll be glad when I'm gone. Provided I ain't going to high tide. But how would you like to be in his boots and you knew people were not believing what he said? You know, just like those bunch of, of serpent seed. Oh, this or that, but not just what you say. Well, let me ask you a question. Get a piece of paper and you write down for fun, and I'll write down for fun just what you'd like and I'd like. You know something? You got half an ounce of anything, and I got a quarter ounce or a double ounce, whatever it is. I don't care how we measure it. You're going to come to this very principle. Because what are you going to ask for, and how are you going to get it? What are you going to depend on? You see what I'm trying to show you? We're right back to live or die, sink or swim. This is it. And there isn't anything else. Now, if you haven't come to that, and I haven't come to it, we had better come to it. Because he tells us the truth. This tremendous faith that was a demonstration to receive what was sent to them as the bread of life come down from heaven, which it was. Same thing with us. Everything else is peripheral to it. But I'm going to tell you something. Not one word of God is void of that power we're talking about. That pillar of fire and that prophet. And that authentication of the one who came down as the judge. And the judge interprets the law, not the lawyer. The lawyer goes before the judge hoping to get the judge to interpret the way he sees it. This one came down and told it. And I got news for you. William Branham did not interpret it. Let's identify ourselves with the prophet in this beautiful little dissertation I've read hundreds of times. I think I've read it. Now I want you to know this is sure. This is it. Make no bones about it. You're stuck with it. I'm stuck with it. I don't care what you say. I don't care what you think. Listen to me. And you that listen to this tape, you might have thought today I was trying to say that about myself, being I was the one preaching this message. I have no more to do with what I am saying than nothing. No more than just the voice. I am a Charlie McCarthy. Sitting on the lap of Edward Bergen, so to speak. And my voice. He said, I didn't want to give him that. He said, I preferred to be a hog caller, skunk skin or something else. And my voice, even against my better judgment, I wanted to be a trapper. But it's the will of my Father that I declare to do. So I'm telling you what I'm doing. And I'm determined to do it. Sure. He's in a straitjacket. I wasn't the one that appeared down on the river. I was only one standing there when he appeared. I'm not the one that performs these things and foretells these things that happens as perfectly are. I'm only one that's near when he does it. That is the Son of Man. You see it right there? Luke 17. I was only a voice that he used to say it. It wasn't what I knew. It's what I just surrendered myself to that he spoke through. It isn't I. It wasn't the seventh messenger. Oh, no. It was a manifestation of the Son of Man. There you are. See? The Son of Man is Christ. No, the Son. It wasn't the messenger, his message. It was the mystery that God unfolded. It's not a man, it's God. The messenger was not the Son of Man. He was the messenger from the Son of Man. The Son of Man is Christ. He's the one you're feeding on. You're not feeding on a man. A man, his words will fail. But you're feeding on the unfailing body word of God. Now, if you're feeding on something, we know that physiologically, you are what you eat. So what are you eating on today? Let's go over it again. He had this perfect faith. It came because he was the Word. And you must become the Word. You will become the Word, certainly. And you become the Word as you receive the Word. And if you stick to that, you stick to me. Right. To the one that was revealed. Did you know Elohim? You are in agreement. You're pledged to. You don't move from it. Living or dying. That's the way those saints were in 11th chapter of Hebrews. My words which abide in you, then you ask what you will, and it will be done for you. See? If you say to this mountain, be moved, and don't doubt, but believe in what you've said, then you shall have what you said. When you pray, believe that you receive what you ask for. It'll be given you. Now notice, I cannot say that William Branham is saying the same thing in two different ways. I believe he's saying two different things. If you say to this mountain, be moved, and don't doubt, and believe in what you said, you'll have what you said. But when you pray, believe that you receive what you ask for, and you'll have it. That's a different story. It'll be given you. Doesn't say that you are literally the shaker and the mover by what you say, on the grounds that the Spirit of God must back it up. That you have lit the spark that blows the ammunition up and gets the power moving. No. That's the first one. This is different. Time, space, nothing else will ever change it. You know it's done. It's over. So therefore I would say, and what he is saying here about himself, we apply it in our measure to ourselves in the asking prayer. That this great thing that he did is once more an example for you and me. What special merit did the prophet have above yours and mine? Nothing, just an office. If he got something from God, he can't use it as though he's his own and act as though it was his own and boast as though he had something. Neither can you and I. Brother Branham said to the mountain, Alaska, you're ready to sink. He said to L.A., you're going to sink. See? This proved the prophet was the living word of God made manifest. Just the same as Christ speaking. Now, when Brother Branham had this scripture of Mark 11 made real to him, the voice said, but you said. The voice forced him to give not an opinion, but an actual desire or what he wanted. You tell me what you want. Well, I'm out here hunting. I'd like squirrels. How many do you want? Well, I need three. Where do you want them? I had to tell him. Then he began to sort of chicken out a bit and back off. And God said, but hold it, you said three. Now, you don't find that in the Bible. See, that you and I would do that. But it says there, somebody's going to do it or can do it. And it says in John 14 and 12, that somebody was going to come and have a greater ministry than he had. In other words, as Brother Branham said, he had more results in my ministry than he had in his own. That was the way it used to be. Christ never went around the world like William Branham did. Now he says, puts it on us. Now, stay in our divine order. Not looking for public ministries, but it is not impossible that anybody in this church could have the definite assurance that somebody wouldn't die, or thus and so would happen, and it could happen. I've seen it many times, but I never said this mountain. I remember a certain man was dying in the Baptist church over there in Spencerville High, just west of Lima, 14 miles out. And his brother was terribly broken up. The brother's dead now, too. They called me to pray, and I said, Charlie, Grant is going to live. He'd be crying. I don't see how he can. The doctor took the guy. Said, Grant. I said, Charlie, listen to me. I just told you he is going to live. I don't care what the doctor said. He is going to live. And he lived. Within 2 years, he was in the hospital again. I said, he will die. And he died. Many times I've said those things. It's not past you. It's not necessary. I don't try those things anymore. I don't try to have gifts anymore. To be honest with you. I don't try to minister that way. I wouldn't dare to do it anyway. Because I didn't have a perfect gift of discernment. I had a lot of it. I knew a lot of things. The prophecies came to pass. But, see, in your own way, it's not beyond you to say, not as the prophet, thus saith the Lord and all, went through the prophet, went through. But you and I can be directed by God to know things. But in here is the real thing. The solid assurance that has been proven to you and me, we are a people of substance. We have substantial faith. And we are substantially faith creatures. I am a believer, and therefore I believe. Now watch. He said to us, if you abide in me, not the him now, both of us, and my word in you, St. John here, you can ask what you will, it'll be done. Then, recognize your position in the scripture as a believer, because he told you you could do it. And if you can do it, it makes you a doer, which is a believer. See, you've got to recognize your position. As Jesus recognized his position, and William Branham recognized his position, it comes by sticking with the word as Kenyon did. God says I'm righteous. Who dares condemn me? In other words, we believe and accept what he did for us and what he says about it and us, and then obey him if there are any commands. As it says, if God did this for us, how shall he not freely with us give all things? If God manifested himself and gave us rapturing faith, how shall he not then demonstrate in our lives by us believing, and we can believe it, the other things that lie there for us. Well, time's gone. So, let's rise and be dismissed. Now, the hard things I said them hard, I meant them to be hard, and I meant them more for me than for you, because I want to get out of here. Now, I'll be honest with you. I got faith for you, too. I believe you're children of God. I believe you're going. But I tell you, I can't believe for you. I'm believing for me to get out of here. So let's all believe together that not one be missing. I said it hard on purpose because we need it hard. The prophet said somebody's got to tell him. And I was talking about my hard preaching. I'm finding out I don't preach hard enough. God, give us some kind of a sword to get down deep in us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we leave here tonight, we pray, Lord, that it is not a meeting. Well, that's it. We're out of here. Had a nice time. Goody, goody. We're gone. Lord, if it takes keeping us awake tonight, losing our sleep, and that takes sickness or something to do it, then, Father, let it be done. Because we are to the place, Lord, where we need a desperation. It seems that consecration hasn't done it. We can't seem to consecrate. We can't seem to concentrate either, the fact of the matter is. But, Lord, you said we wouldn't get away. There wouldn't be a fish get out of your net. There wouldn't be a sheep that didn't make it. And you've not only begun a good work, Lord, through 7 church ages and 7 before that, but you're finishing the good work. And they without us cannot be made perfect. They're where exactly you want them to be. And we're going to be exactly where you want us to be. So they without us cannot be made perfect. They've finished it. We haven't. We're in it. So, Father, help us tonight to just have this consecration in such a way, this revelation, whatever we're talking about, Lord, in such a way now, Spirit of God moving, whatever we're talking about, that not looking for any great big things, but just faces like flints and actions that are commensurate with it. Faith actions motivated by love of God. And Father, I thank you that you heard our prayer. I know, Lord, before the foundation of the earth, it was already answered. So, Lord, we move on tonight. We pray to higher heights and deeper depths. Greater gratitude. Everything, Lord, in the magnificent maximum. Because we believe it, Lord. That's the way it is. And it's not the way it has to be because we believe it. It's the way it is, and we believe it, and we're happy for it. Thank you, Lord, for the Lord Jesus Christ who died, rose again, shed his blood, sent forth his own soul life upon us, that great Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for sending a prophet. Thank you for giving us the opportunity, Lord, of seeing, and above all, for knowing. And thank you, Lord, for this more than ever to be confirmed, in knowing who we are and what we are. And going on with you, Lord, to complete victory. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power and honor and glory. And may everyone in this building be saved and everyone healed for the glory of God. In the name of Jesus Christ. The Lord bless you. Let's be dismissing. You take the name of Jesus with you.